Hello and welcome into episode 9 of Beyond the Mat. I'm your host, Nico Coretto, and alongside me today is nobody, because the school year's over at West Virginia University, and now I kind of just have to do this by myself for a bit, still trying to figure out if I'm going to have guests on or not during the summer months, but for right now, I'm going to be doing it alone, and we have a lot to cover. I missed a good amount. I mean, I watched all of it, I just didn't record anything. So we're just going to get it all done now, and we'll start with the first night of the draft that was SmackDown on April 26th. The show started with a contract signing between Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles. So they end up having that contract signing. It was all right, you know, normal promo stuff. And then we get the first picks. So the very first pick of the entire draft, SmackDown selected Bianca Belair. Now, looking back at the draft episode that me and John did, we definitely got the format wrong, and then after I did put the little thing at the beginning saying that the format was wrong, I still thought NXT was going to make a couple picks. They ended up not, so I don't know. I mean, that's just, I guess that's just how WWE decided to do it, but it is what it is. So, SmackDown selected Bianca Belair, and then with a second pick, Raw selected Jey Uso. From there, SmackDown selected Carmelo Hayes, and Raw selected Seth Rollins. After Carmelo Hayes was selected, he came out after Triple H and Cody Rhodes were announcing the picks, and pretty much challenged him to a match in the main event, which Cody Rhodes accepted. From there, the first match of the night was Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio up against Angel and Berto of Legado del Fantasma. The match ended in Mysterio and Dragon Lee winning, but after the match, there was some footage, backstage footage, revealed by Santos Escobar that showed that Carlito was the man that attacked Dragon Lee. He then pushed Mysterio into Lee, hit Dragon Lee with a backstabber, and escaped through the crowd. So, I mean, now they're going with the Carlito heel turn. That's now like the second, or I think the second person now that has turned on Mysterio in the last year. He has had a lot of people turn on him. Like, historically, you know, he's had Batista as well. I mean, there have been a lot of people that have turned on him. From there was the debut of, or I wouldn't say debut, Bron Breakker had a match on SmackDown. He went up against Cedric Alexander. It was a 30-second squash match. Bron Breakker hit the spear and won, and it was all right. Then we get to the next picks. SmackDown selected Randy Orton in the first pick in the second round. Raw selected Bron Breakker. SmackDown selected Nia Jax, and Raw selected Liv Morgan. So that's how the second round panned out. And from there, there was... Sorry. I was reading. Bubba Ray was in the SmackDown War Room. I forgot he was a part of this. Solisko and Tama Tonga were shown arriving backstage, talking to Paul Heyman. Kevin Owens attacked them from behind, so they're kind of building up to some stuff. Tiffany Stratton and Naomi then had a match. It was a solid match. Ended up in a no contest, because Jax attacked Bayley from the crowd. Naomi tried to help, but Nia Jax ended up attacking Naomi. Match got canceled. From there, the Dudley Boys made the next round of picks, where SmackDown selected LA Knight, Raw drafted Ricochet, SmackDown drafted Sokoa, Tama Tonga, and Paul Heyman, and Raw drafted Sheamus. Now, the reason Roman Reigns wasn't drafted with Sokoa, Tonga, and Heyman is because Heyman pulled Roman Reigns' name from the draft pool, and we would have later found out in next week's SmackDown that he hasn't, it was either SmackDown or Backlash, where he hasn't talked to Roman Reigns since he lost at WrestleMania, which has been a little over a month now. So, you know, not the best thing. More brawling between KO, Tonga, and Sokoa. And then the main event match was Carmelo Hayes against Cody Rhodes. Before that, though, they had the fourth and final round of Friday night. SmackDown selected AJ Styles, Raw drafted Chad Gable, Otis, Akira Tozawa, and Maxine Dupri. They end up keeping together the Alpha Academy. SmackDown drafted Andrade, and Raw drafted Kiana James from NXT. A very deserved call-up. I think she did a lot of amazing work in NXT. It's good to see her get called up. But from there, the Rhodes-Hayes matchup. Rhodes ended up winning, but both guys showed a lot of promise in the ring. Obviously, Cody Rhodes being the champion, great talent. Carmelo Hayes has known to put on a lot of really good matches in NXT. He goes out there, puts on a good match with Cody Rhodes, and then AJ Styles shows up and kind of stares down Cody Rhodes, and that's how the show was ended. There's some notable backstage stuff. It was Karrion Kross and AOP were shown attacking the New Catch Republic backstage. Kiana James gave a quick interview after being drafted. She was genuinely surprised because the NXT talents weren't told if they were getting drafted. I think the only one that even remotely knew was Carmelo Hayes because he was backstage at SmackDown. But other than that, I mean, other than Hayes and Breaker probably, I don't think any of them knew, which is interesting. Nick Aldis announced Bayley versus Tiffany Stratton versus Naomi at Backlash before he let Teddy Long announce that Randy Orton and Kevin Owens would face up against Tama Tonga and Solo Sikoa at Backlash in France. Show's alright. Decent start to draft. Not many changes between brands. A lot of people weren't happy about it. But then we get into Monday Night Raw, and here's some more stuff that happens. So, the new Women's World Champion Becky Lynch kicks off the show after she won the Battle Royal to become the champion after Rhea Ripley had to relinquish her title due to a shoulder injury. But before that, show opened up with Logan Paul and Ishow Speed getting out of a car and greeting the Judgment Day. Damian Priest, JD McDonagh, Finn Balor, and Dominic Mysterio, who's also currently injured. And then they pan the camera to the right and it's Patrick Mahomes. They were in Kansas City for Raw, so Patrick Mahomes was there. He actually played a role in the show. We'll get to that in a minute. Becky Lynch went out there, you know, recapped her win. Liv Morgan interrupted, and then Nia Jax interrupted from there. you know, pretty much back and forth. And then they decided to make Nia Jax and Liv Morgan match official. It was a decent way to kick off Raw, even though Nia Jax is going to SmackDown. That on Bleach Report was great as a B. Not bad. So, the first draft picks of the night. Stephanie McMahon opened up the draft. The first pick for Raw, they got the first pick on Monday night. They selected Imperium, Gunther, and Ludwig Kaiser, not Giovanni Vinci after he was turned on by Kaiser a week ago, or a couple weeks ago now. SmackDown selected Jade Cargill. Raw selects Damage Control, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Asuka, and Kairi Sane, and then Kevin Owens goes to SmackDown. Gunther and Xavier Woods had a little thing, you know, arguing about, you know, how Woods was the last King of the Ring. Gunther said he was going to go after the King of the Ring after he made his long way to return since losing at WrestleMania to Sami Zayn. So now he's saying, you know, he's going to do the King of the Ring. He's going after, you know, whoever stands in his way. And they end up having a match, and Gunther ends up beating Woods in a very good match as well. Woods put up a very good fight. There were points in that match where I thought Woods could have possibly pulled off the victory, but Gunther was just too good and pulled off the win. From there, the next round of picks were announced. Logan Paul and Ishow Speed announced those picks. The picks were Raw selected CM Punk, SmackDown selects The Pride, Bobby Lashley, Street Profits, and B-Fab. Raw selects Braun Strowman, and SmackDown selects Tiffany Stratton. After announcing these picks, Paul and Speed hit the ring. Logan Paul cuts a promo on Jey Uso, claiming that Uso doesn't stand a chance against Damian Priest. Uso then interrupts, and then out comes the Judgment Day as McDonagh and Balor. Mahomes gives his 3 Super Bowl rings to Logan Paul, as McDonagh and Balor have Uso, you know, tied up. So then Paul goes to punch Uso, he ducks out of the way and hits McDonagh in the head with the 3 Super Bowl rings, and then Braun Strowman makes a return, his music hits, he lays out Balor, chases Paul off, before standing alongside Uso to close out the segment. Strowman went over to Mahomes and was kind of looking at him for a second, then Uso's like, hey, we're all good. It was interesting to see Patrick Mahomes there. That he also had Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith there as well alongside him after they highlighted the things that happened during the Kansas City Super Bowl parade, where obviously there was a shooting and a lot of people were injured, and they kind of highlighted how, you know, some of these Kansas City Chiefs players really stepped up and, you know, tried to help out the community, which is a great thing. Trey Smith especially was one of the great guys. He ended up being next to this this kid, and to calm him down, he started talking to him about wrestling because he saw he was a big wrestling fan. Talked about wrestling with him for a bit, and then obviously the situation was eventually diffused and everyone was able to go home. From there, there was an Intercontinental Championship match. It was Sami Zayn facing off against Bronson Reed for the title. It was a good match. Sami Zayn ends up winning because of a disqualification, because Chad Gable broke up a pinfall after Zayn hit Reed with a haluva kick and then started beating him up. So obviously, disqualification. Reed was not happy. He ends up laying out Gable. So, you know, looks like maybe they could be doing a triple threat. Obviously, Gable's still not upset, or still not happy with how everything transpired during his match with Zayn a couple weeks ago on Raw, where he obviously lost and then turned heel. From there, it was the APA announced the next set of draft picks, and the picks were the LWO goes to Raw, Mysterio, Cruz del Toro, Joaquin Wilde, Zelina Vega, Dragon Lee, and Carlito. After Carlito turned, SmackDown selected Legado del Fantasma, Santos Escobar, Angel, Berto, and Electro Lopez. Raw selects Drew McIntyre, and Shinsuke Nakamura heads to SmackDown. McIntyre was very frustrated with the fact that he was drafted after CM Punk. And then, CM Punk shows up from Skybox and dared him to come up for him. And we saw throughout the next maybe half an hour of the show that CM Punk, or when Drew McIntyre was looking for CM Punk. Before he was able to find him, there was a match between Maxxine Dupri and Candice LeRae. Backstage, Sheamus confronted Braun Breaker, telling him he reminded a lot of his young version of himself. We saw Drew McIntyre blow past them both, and then Dupri and LeRae have their match. LeRae ends up winning as LeRae hit her with the Wicked Stepsister, which is a move that she used in NXT. I mean, it was a whatever match, and they're just giving LeRae more momentum, I guess. From there, Rey Mysterio cut a promo on Carlito's betrayal. Dominic Mysterio interrupted, and he talked about Mysterio's mustache, Dominic's mustache, saying it didn't look good. And then from there, we see Drew McIntyre finds a suite that CM Punk was in, but then Punk leaves him a note, or like puts his signature on this piece of paper that had Punk's face on it. And then CM Punk's music hits. He goes down to the ring, cuts a promo on McIntyre, saying that, you know, after Punk is back from injury, he's gonna, you know, they're gonna have a match. And, you know, Punk does the thing. He goes in the middle of the ring, sits crisscross, and at the end of the promo, turns away from McIntyre as he's still in the press box, and he is just, he's pissed. He's just standing there, stone cold face, just not happy whatsoever. And then from there, the fourth round picks are announced, and finally the Judgment Day gets picked. They go to Raw, Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio, and JD McDonagh. Obviously, Priest staying on Raw because he is a champion. The champions were not able to be drafted elsewhere except for the women's tag team titles. SmackDown selected Naomi. Another call-up here. Raw selects Ilya Dragunov from NXT. A very deserved call-up. I think Dragunov was great. And now he's on Raw, where Gunther is. So maybe we can see, you know, sort of a rekindling of that rivalry that they had for so long in NXT UK. And SmackDown selects Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, which Adam Pearce could not be happier for. His life got significantly easier because of that pick. And then you had Liv Morgan go up against Nia Jax in their match. Liv Morgan ended up winning after, you know, Nia Jax, obviously being the hulking mass and force that she is, was kind of throwing Morgan around. Naomi attacked Stratton after Stratton was ringside, and Jax got distracted. Morgan took advantage, hit the Oblivion, and won, and puts over the person that's staying on Raw instead of the person that's going to SmackDown. So that was how that one ended. And then the next set of picks were announced. It was the Dudley Boys who were announcing these picks. It was the fifth round. The Raw selects the New Day. SmackDown selects Pretty Deadly, keeping them on the blue brand. Raw, with another NXT call-up, selects Lyra Valkyria. and SmackDown selects Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, obviously Lyra as well, a very good talent in NXT. Kind of interesting to see that they're just cutting that rivalry she had with Tatum Paxley short. But, you know, do whatever. The Miz and R-Truth defended the World Tag Team Championships against Alpha Academy in the penultimate match of the night. Champions won, and Gable was not very happy. And kind of just ripped into him some more. So, you know, good stuff from Gable. Backstage, Jaden McDonagh and Judgment Day was shown cutting a promo. Jaden McDonagh had this kind of towel on his face. He removes it, and there is a gnarly mark on his forehead and his head in general from the Super Bowl rings that he got punched with. And from there, the final draft picks of the night are selected, and there was a six-man tag team main event match. The picks were Raw selecting the Final Testament, that being Karrion Kross, the Authors of Pain, Paul Ellering, and Scarlett. SmackDown selecting DIY, Tommaso Ciampa, and Johnny Gargano. Raw selecting Big Bronson Reed, and SmackDown selecting Blair Davenport. Those were the final picks of the night, and then they get into the Triple Threat tag team match, where Uso, Andrade, and Ricochet win. It was an okay match, and Priest was definitely not happy with the Judgment Day. So it seems like maybe they're building a little bit towards having Priest go off and do his own thing. From there, we will move on to NXT Spring Break and Night 2. Obviously, Night 1 saw Trick Williams win the world title off of Ilya Dragunov. And the card starts off with Obafemi taking on Ivar for the NXT North American Championship, I believe. The show actually started with that. Trick Williams came out for a promo, crowd chanting, whoop that Trick, and then Lash Legend comes out. But Trick, you know, reminds her that she tried to slap him in the face. They get a little spicy, saying words that I will not repeat. A couple different innuendos. And then after that, finally, it was the match. Obafemi against Ivar. It was a good match. Obviously, both guys are huge, great powerhouses, but Obafemi ends up retaining. And then, as Obafemi's, you know, celebrating in the ring, you hear some familiar music. It's the return of Wes Lee. After almost a year out of action with, I believe, a neck injury, he comes back and confronts the champions and makes his intentions clear that, you know, he wants to go after the NXT North American Championship that he never lost. So I thought that was pretty cool. I loved Wes Lee as a champion. Would I like to see him get it back? Not really, because I do love Obafemi's reign currently, and I think having Wes Lee beat him might, I don't know, low down his stock a little bit, I guess. There was also Gigi Dolin and Ariana Grace talking about the card while they were eating dinner. Grace took her to a very fancy restaurant, and Gigi Dolin was, like, burping while she was drinking, like, sparkling water. I thought it was a little weird, but moving on. Next match was Thea Hale against JC Jane. Obviously, these two girls being good friends for a while, and then JC Jane ends up turning on Hale, and Fallon Henley comes out with Chase U to cheer on Hale, and Hale wins the match. Only lasts a couple minutes. Hale gets a submission win, and then Fallon Henley turns on Thea Hale, and all of Chase U's like, well, why'd you do that? It's very odd. I didn't expect it, honestly, but it happened. Crowd was chanting welcome back for Wes Lee, because obviously that Thea Hale match happened right after Wes Lee returned. And then, from there was another match. It was the OC, Gallus and Anderson, taking on the new tag team of Tyson DuPont and Tyreek Igwe. This match ended with the OC winning. I thought that since, you know, they were having a new tag team debut in NXT, they would have had them win. But no, they didn't. They had Gallus and Anderson win, which I think was also a good decision, because if you have two, you know, world-renowned tag team guys lose to some newcomers, that would be like, it would really just hurt their credibility. From there, Sean Spears faced off against Rich Holland. Obviously, this feud has been going on for a while. Before that, though, NXT General Manager Ava was trying to announce an upcoming women's match, but then she was interrupted by Jada Parker, then Sol Ruka, then Ariana Grace, and then Mia Yim showed up. This was for the NXT Women's North American title, and they all just kind of started brawling in the middle of the ring for a while. And then from there, Sean Spears came out, faced off against Rich Holland. Rich Holland won. It was an okay match. Not too much to say about it at all. Next match was Axiom and Frazier going up against the Authors of Pain, Akam and Rezar. They defended their titles. Axiom and Frazier ends up winning after there was a lot of, you know, tomfoolery going on with AOP and Karrion Kross being at ringside trying to help out the Authors of Pain. And then New Catch Republic shows up, evens the odds, and Axiom and Frazier are able to steal a pin and get out with the win. And from there was the main event match of Night 2 of NXT Spring Break, and NXT Underground match between Lola Vice and Natalya. I wasn't able to watch this match. I don't even remember what I was doing. I think I was busy packing. This match ended, however, with Lola Vice beating Natalya. I heard it was a hard-hitting match, a decent match. But then Baszler tried to get involved, ended up getting thrown out by Natalya, and then Lola Vice locked in a sharpshooter. Baszler grabbed Petrovic, choke, forced Sakrina Hearts to break the submission to save her. And then when she got back into the ring, Lola Vice nailed her with a back fist and then started just pounding on her. And the ref had to call for the bell. It was an interesting match, and I mean, we've seen it in years past when they tried to do Raw Underground. It didn't really work. I was kind of excited to see how they did it. I think they did it a little bit better here, but do I think it was good? I mean, it was okay. Then moving on, you had SmackDown before Backlash. This episode, by the way, I'm filming this, or recording this, on Monday. So the next episode that will come out, I will review Raw and NXT. It'll be a short one. So we're going to get into SmackDown, and then we'll talk about Backlash, and that will be it. Here on SmackDown, show started off with Bayley, Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi going up against Damage Control and Tiffany Stratton in an 8-woman tag team match. This SmackDown obviously taking place in Lyon, France. It was pre-taped, so I saw some stuff on Twitter at like 1. But I didn't actually get to watch it until around 8. So that was interesting to say the least. But getting into SmackDown, I do not know what is happening right now. Okay. All right, getting back into it. Blair, Bayley, Cargill, and Naomi up against Damage Control and the Street Profits. Or not the Street Profits, Tiffany Stratton. Bayley, Blair, Cargill, and Naomi won. This one, as I said, was filmed in France. Or it was in France. It was in Lyon. I had a backlash, so couldn't watch it immediately. Had to wait until 8 Eastern time to watch it. But Bayley, Blair, Cargill, and Naomi win, and they still showed that, you know, Bayley and Blair don't exactly trust each other. Bayley opting to make the tag to Jade Cargill instead of Bianca Belair. The crowd was really loud during both SmackDown and Backlash. Crowd was insane. So good on them. I love having good crowds for shows. I think it elevates a show tenfold. From there, the Authors of Pain faced off against the New Catch Republic. Before that, Carmelo Hayes and Bobby Lashley, you know, had a backstage exchange, and Waller and Theory kind of talk about how, you know, we're never going to lose these tag team titles. They will. They will soon. This match ended with AOP defeating New Catch Republic. They got a little bit of an assist from Scarlett and a lot of interference from Karrion Kross. So, I mean, it was a whatever match. LA Knight against Angel. This is where Paul Heyman, before the match, was shown talking to Aldis, admitted he didn't hasn't spoken to Roman Reigns since WrestleMania. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton were hosting the RKO show. Heyman was their guest. He tried to talk Orton and KO out of their match between Sokoa and Tonga, And then those two attacked Orton, KO, brawl broke out, whatever. After all that was over, LA Knight came out, took on Angel in a random singles match, excuse me. LA Knight won, obviously, getting more momentum, whatever. From there, it was Street Profits going up against 8 Town Down Under. There was a backstage interview where Carlito gave, kind of gave a little bit of an exclamation or explanation, and then Dragon Lee came out and attacked him. And then they cut to Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins coming in through the crowd in their old gear to take on Theory and Waller for the tag titles. 8 Town Down Under ended up retaining. They were kind of able to steal their titles from the hands of the Street Profits, but it was whatever. And that's how the show ended, or the segment closed the show, was another face-to-face between AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes to hype up their match for the next night. And before SmackDown went off the air, it was RK Owens, which is what Bleacher Report's calling them, and the Bloodline having a brawl backstage. So now, we get into WWE Backlash. The show started with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton taking on Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. Originally, this was just a normal tag team match, but it didn't end up that way. Kevin Owens came out, crowd was hot for him, and then Randy Orton came out, and the crowd was singing his song. It was amazing. It was great to see. And then, obviously, Sikoa and Tonga came out, took their time. the crowd chanted, "We want Roman," as the Bloodline all came out. And then all four of the men started brawling before the ref could even call for the bell. And then Nick Aldis comes out, or several producers and security try to break up the fight before Nick Aldis comes out and says that this match will end up being a street fight. So, I enjoyed this match a lot. There were kendo sticks, garbage cans, steel steps, tables. I like the garbage cans because they're shaped a little bit differently. In France, I guess, they have more of a round top compared to, like, the flat ones that you have in the States. But it was really fun to see. The match eventually slowed down a bit. They had a couple table spots. Tama Tonga got, like, brutalized with a kendo stick. And then, as KO was going for the pin on Tama Tonga to win the match, the referee was pulled out of the ring, and it was shown that Tongaloa was the man that pulled the ref out of the ring. He makes his WWE re-debut, obviously, around a decade ago. He was Camacho, I believe, in a tag team. I forgot what they were, but I remember he was the one riding the bike. So it was, it was cool to see Tongaloa. I thought it was going to be Jacob Fatu, but I guess not. He broke up the pin, Sikoa hit Owens with a Samoan Spike, and the Bloodline won. So now, they're strengthening up the Bloodline even more with the addition of Tongaloa. And then, the next match was Bayley and Naomi against Tiffany Stratton. Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton, excuse me, for the women's title. Let's see. In the pre-show, it was Big E, CM Punk, and Jackie Redmond. I thought it was very enjoyable. They were talking about New Japan, and CM Punk was like, "You guys are talking about New Japan? I thought this wasn't allowed." It was cool. It was cool. Getting to the next match, Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton for the women's title. It was a good match. I really enjoyed it. There were a lot of big spots. And at one point, I thought Tiffany Stratton was going to be able to win it, but then she ends up getting taken out, and Bayley is able to pin Naomi to get the 3 count, and Naomi gives Bayley a hug, kind of, gives her the prop, saying, good match, as Tiffany is just laying on the outside. Next match was Damian Priest versus Jey Uso for the world title. Now, before Jey Uso came out, he was backstage, and he sees Solo Sikoa, Tama Tonga, and Tongaloa walk past him. They walk in front of him, and then he sees Paul Heyman with a look in his eyes. He looks at Jay, kind of like, a scream for help, and then he walks behind Jay. Now, I think that this stuff is done on purpose. I think that they do this kind of stuff to stir up, what's going on with the fans, and what they think So it could lead to something, it could not. I think it will. I think they're going to end up going new bloodline against old bloodline, have Roman Reigns return, have Jimmy and Jay get back together. Some people have been saying Sami Zayn gets into it. I don't think so. I think they'll have Jacob Fatu join the good side. And then, obviously, Jey Uso comes out. The crowd was very, very into a song, and you know, a lot of crowds have been into a song, including the Cleveland Cavaliers crowd. At Game 7, they play Jey Uso's song during one of the commercial breaks. Obviously, I was not in attendance for the game. I was watching at home because I don't have the money for those kind of tickets. But the Cavs won, and it seemed like the fans were kind of enjoying it. Some of them weren't, but some of them were. So, good on you, Jey Uso. The match ended with Damian Priest winning after JD McDonagh came out and then Finn Balor came out. And Priest ends up getting the win, hits him with a Salfa Heaven from the middle rope. But then McDonagh and Balor start attacking Jey Uso, and Priest is like fed up at this point. He shoves McDonagh off, shoves Balor off, grabs Balor's beard, and is like screaming at him, saying like, he's done it, it's enough. So maybe they're hitting at a Damian Priest face turn, which is interesting. I think it was good. I like it. It could be very interesting. Who knows? From there, the Kabuki Warriors face off against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill for the women's tag titles. Match ended with Cargill and Belair winning the titles. The match was good until Kairi Sane went for a pin on Jade Cargill, but the ref told Kairi, "You're not legal," which was really weird. And then Asuka tags herself in, even though she was already in. It was a little messy, and then Jade Cargill, or Bianca Belair, ends up getting tagged in. Then Jade Cargill gets tagged back in, hits like a crossbody, and then catches, I believe, Kairi Sane with the same kind of thing that she did against Sky Blue in an AEW match, where she like catches her and then like flips her and then like hooks her and then hits the finishing move. And then after that, Belair hit the KOD, and they won the titles. It was, I mean, I enjoyed the match. Could it have been better? Yes. But it was a little sloppy. And then the show ended off with Cody Rhodes going up against AJ Styles for the Universal Championship. The crowd was very hot for both of the guys. It was a good match. A lot of stuff went on, but Cody Rhodes was able to win the match, hit the crossroads on AJ Styles, and took home the win. And then there were a couple King of the Ring matches that are announced. I have to look these up because I forgot which ones they were. I believe, here we go. All right, so this is for tonight. Okay. Oh, these are just match card predictions. Excuse me. Let me find a different page. Da 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 da. King of the Ring tournament and Queen of the Ring. Here we go. Is this it? This might be it. All right, here we go. First round matches. These were just the ones announced on Raw. Drew McIntyre against Finn Balor, Kofi Kingston against Rey Mysterio, Ricochet against Ilya Dragunov, and Gunther against Sheamus. That one's going to be a really good match. For Queen of the Ring, Zoe Stark against Ivy Nile, Shayna Baszler against Zelina Vega, Lyra Valkyrie against Asuka, and Io Sky against Natalya. So that's those were the matches that were announced. Back to the Rhodes and Styles thing. At one point, Michael Cole mentioned the Bullet Club. At one point, he mentioned like a couple different New Japan guys. It was really weird. And then, obviously, there were more Uncle Howdy teases. There was one during NXT as well. I just forgot what happened in some of them. A lot of them were cryptic. Very cryptic. At some point, like, genuinely creepy. Like, I was legit a little freaked out by some of these. I do not remember. There's been so many at this point. It's gotta find them. I just gotta find them. I know there was one. This was a recent one, where it was a QR code, and then it goes to a screen where it has a couple different numbers, and you dial the number, and it's a phone call, and the caller ID says Bray Wyatt's, I believe, psychiatrist. And it's like a little 30 to 40 second phone conversation. And then there was another clip as well. There was another one where, the screen was flashing. All you have to do is believe. And then the E flashed with an O. Bo Leave, Bo Dallas. And then there's also speculation that Eric Rowan has been re-signed to WWE. And then Dexter Lumis finally posted something on Instagram today, or the other day. I don't know what's happening. There have been so many teases. Braun Strowman's back. Alexa Bliss might come back. I really do not know. It's very weird. I really cannot keep track of anything that's happening. It's just really interesting. I'm just trying to look through all these. There's a lot. And then obviously a while ago there was that Matt Hardy thing where he was kind of teasing that. There's just been so much recently. I'll look up the phone number to be more specific. The phone number, if any of you want to dial it, it was 888-280-3999, which, no, that's the wrong one. That was from 2022. Hold on. Let me go on to Reddit. That's old. We believed. We believed. Yada, yada, yada. It's time leading to this link, where the number is 888-2803. Okay, that was the right number. Excuse me. My bad. There's an audio message with a distorted voice. Kind of sounds like Lex Bliss. The audio said, "You think you're so close to finding him, but you don't even know what you're looking for. He's not what you think. He just wants to help. That's all he's ever wanted. He opens up his arms and makes you feel like you matter, like you belong. He doesn't change you. He reminds you. He wants to know, why did you forget about them? He says he opened the door, and the time of secrets has come to an end." If you live in the U.S. or Canada, the number is 888-280-3999, or 3999. Appear on the site, it's the same phone number used in the Right Rabbit Hunt 2 years ago. Okay. Instead, there was a hidden message saying, "You did this," and I had both the audio message. The second message sounds like, apparently from this Reddit post, at Tsune Miku. It says, "Do you know the story of the shepherd and the lost sheep? The shepherd left 99 others to search for the one sheep that had gone missing. He rejoiced when he found it, but what happened when my precious sheep went missing? None of you cared. Their families didn't care. Their friends didn't care. You let the darkness take them, left them shackled in HE double hockey sticks, all alone. But I set them free. They are my family now, and we will do anything to protect our family. I can't wait for you to see what they become. It's beautiful." Apparently someone did like that inspect thing on Google where you inspect it and it says sneaky, sneaky Penfold 200, which is a reference to Penfold 200 on Twitter. If I look this up, it says, it was a tweet from Penfold Hansen saying, "At Wrestling Days YT Days, you have to ring this number 1-888-280-3999. It's the one from Right Rabbit, but it's changed now to an assuming Alexa Bliss," which was already covered a second ago. The second message is must like straightforward. Shillings and a guinea. 20. I'm lost at this point. There's so much. But yeah, the most recent one was a phone number. I did this at like 11 o'clock at night in my room alone, dark. So I was a little creeped out. Because I called the number and it was just playing. I was like, what? It was weird. It was really weird. But that's where that's going right now. And people are assuming that it could lead to the Wyatt 6, which is definitely a possibility. I'm looking forward to see what happens tonight on Raw, see if there's another one. If there is, that's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. A lot of people aren't exactly interested in this, but I am, because I like horror stuff and stuff that is unsettling. And this is definitely unsettling. It's really weird. It was really, really weird. Why is Howdy from Texas A&M University showing up on this search? Okay, anyways, I think that's a great place to end this episode off. I want to thank you guys for listening to, I believe this is now episode 9. I will try and get the next episode out on time this time, as obviously this one is very late. But I will do everything I can. I'm looking on getting a new mic to record this, as I'm currently recording this on my brother's laptop, or not my laptop, my brother's PC, but he's moving in around a week, so I have to find a way to record stuff, and I'm still talking to a couple of my friends, see if they want to get involved as well. I will try and keep people updated on what's happening and everything going on with that. But with that, you have been listening to episode 9 of Beyond the Mat.